Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a one. Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your newly trained in the ways of avoiding sexually harassing behavior host, Matthew Olenchek, joined as always by my untrained sexual harasser co-host and work husband, Harrison Poole. How are you, babe?
First
off, I know I'm putting you on the spot here, calling you a sexual harasser in a public forum.
Yeah, first off, I'm also trained.
Yeah, you were privy to the sexual harassment training, so.
I was.
In the room while I took it.
I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
So apparently, apparently our last episode, people texted us that we had bold takes.
Bold takes.
And apparently they're right, because Jimmy Kimmel just getting fired.
Suspended.
Sure, it's suspended indefinitely. Yeah. He's under contract until 2026, so they still have to pay him.
And they're going to replace his show with a Charlie Kirk special.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a Charlie Kirk memorial special the next episode's being replaced by.
Oh, lovely.
I feel like they're really trying to make us care about Charlie Kirk, and I don't think a lot of people care that much. Like, they're putting it like in sports games and getting angry when people don't put into sports games.
Oh, really? I've been paying the mild attention.
The New York, I think Mets did it. And then I saw an article where some sports people weren't playing little memorial videos and people were upset. It's like, this is America. We can't play a memorial video every time someone dies to gun violence. We'll never get that done to do anything.
Also, the Mets, like, it was the day of, right? Yeah. I understand playing. I mean, I don't, but it's Charlie Kirk. I understand playing the day of, but like maybe even the next day, but like a couple days out, you're just we move so fast, we're so detached at that point.
I'm really just waiting for the news cycle to move on. I feel like it should have moved on by now. They just keep trying to make this a thing, and like, no one really cares.
Two students were lynched this week, last week, and it's barely covered. Like, lynching is back. Well, lynching never left, but lynching is back, and it's like not talked about.
Now, I've talked to my therapist since last episode, and she was like, wouldn't it have been better if it went through a legal thing? I'm like, I mean, yeah, sure. But unfortunately, being a Nazi is not a crime, and the government isn't in the mindset to prosecute Nazis if it was. She's always like, wouldn't it be better if these people, like, was it, again, she's like, what does it accomplish? I'm like, you know, sometimes just having a fascist in the ground
is good.
Is good enough. Like, I don't know. She has no sense of justice in her little body.
The First Amendment doesn't exist anymore.
Well, it does, because it wasn't. The government didn't actually step in for Kimmel at all.
The FCC strong-armed ABC into...
later. They started moving it ahead before. They started moving as soon as one of the other people... I believe this is what I read. That one of their like affiliate broadcasters said they were going to pull the they're going to pull like the sharing of shows, and then I believe they pushed the FCC to do something because they're trying to do a merger.
Okay, I heard that the FCC acted and then ABC responded to the FCC.
I believe that's at the behest of the third party, because the machinations are largely merger based, from what I understand. This is largely a capitalistic move that is taking advantage of political things.
So I guess the First Amendment does exist kind of legally.
I could be wrong. Yeah.
No, I'm not. Yeah. Like, this is all of the comedians are talking about this, but like, this is cancel culture.
Oh, it's hilarious, because like, you know who's angry about this?
Who?
A lot of people on the right. Tucker Carlson called it woke. He said that that we're a threat for a woke MAGA. They're alienating their base. I'm really interested to see what happens in the next election cycle.
Do every single anti-woke, like anti-cancel culture comedian, everyone who propped Trump up on their podcast are like, they don't perform on college campuses anymore because the kids like get offended at everything. Stand up now.
I've seen a few stand up. From what I can tell, this is not made. It's like the hardcore MAGAs are loving it, but the general masses who like voted because of Trump because of a podcast, the ones who won him the election, aren't happy about this because it's seen as being kind of woke. I don't think they care about Charlie Kirk as much.
But are they unhappy enough to do something?
I think they're unhappy enough to do nothing. Okay. And if they don't vote, that's... I think we're going to see a lot of people after this term and throughout this term dropping out of politics.
Yeah.
And that's only going to be to everyone who isn't Trump's benefit. Because he won because a bunch of people who don't normally vote voted. Unless it's a worst case scenario for Democrats. MAGA can't win an election on its own. It's not big enough.
Sure.
Just the hardcore MAGA group.
You think it's too niche?
It's a very small population. Like the hardcore group.
Oh, the live and breathe and die.
Yeah, the core group. And like I haven't seen like a lot of people who voted for him aren't happy with it. Like it's because I mean economically it's fucking everything up.
Yeah.
And most people vote with their wallets. And then you have this the woke MAGA shit, which is not necessarily what any of his voters care about.
There are a couple things that make me happy is the wrong word, but make me less afraid that this is a full fascistic, like permanent takeover. One, there is no heir apparent.
There's no heir. Yeah, that's something I always bring up is like the thing about MAGA is that Trump is Trump.
Yes.
And no one else is Trump.
Correct.
People try to be Trump and they're not.
No one has been able to gather around and the people he has tried to appoint have not stuck.
Yeah.
So there
and they're going to fight like dogs when he's dead. They're going to fight over it's going to be like the Roman Empire. They're going to be fighting over the corpse of the MAGA Empire as soon as he's dead. None of them are going to work with the other people. They're all like power hungry little gremlins. There's no heir apparent for them to rally behind.
While they do have a majority, they don't have the 2/3 automatic they need to make like actual like ratification to the documents long term. At some point, you have to put some faith in that document that a bunch of drunk 20-somethings wrote 300 years ago.
Because like I know that they've been trampling over a bunch, but it's not gone.
Right.
It's like the courts have been holding stuff up.
Yes.
It's not super effectual, but like I feel like people focus too much on the stuff that go through and not enough on there is stuff constantly being challenged.
If we can, first off, if we can vote in the midterm and flip like either in the midterm, we can stall them out.
If they lose like 4 seats,
yes,
it's a Democratic majority. That's like the Reichstag fire stuff. I'm like, well, that happened because the Nazis controlled everything.
Mm-hmm.
They were a very popular party. The communists didn't have almost 50%.
Right.
And also, like, there's a lot of comparisons to be made to the Nazis for sure. But I think one of the comparisons that doesn't land is that the reason people got so much behind the Nazis initially is because the Nazis did do stuff to benefit their base.
Yes.
And MAGA has done, I mean, they've done like the culture and the race stuff. But at the end of the day, if you're not doing something material for your base, you're going to lose them eventually.
They've made lives worse.
Yeah.
Things are more expensive.
With the Medicaid cuts, like the only fucking hospitals that are going to be around are city hospitals. They're not going to be able to keep rural ones going. Because like things are really bad. Right?
Things are bad.
Are really bad. But I am holding out doomsaying until the midterms. Because that's going to be a big moment where like, I mean, if Democrats can take seats, then things aren't. This isn't like the end.
Right.
And I mean, we're also I think the bigger long-term threat is the AI bubble bursting.
Okay.
Economically, because everyone's putting everything into it. And it's a shitty magic eight ball. And that's going to burst at some point. And I'm not sure what it's going to do for our economy, but it's not going to be great. That's personally what I'm more worried about long term.
Sure.
Because this is going to take fucking forever to fix, but that it can be fixed eventually.
Do you think something... So you think it's going to burst? You don't think something... Not replace, but like you don't think it'll even out?
I hope it evens out.
Yeah.
But it could burst.
Oh, 100%.
It 100%. Like there's so much money put in. There's so much... jobs relying on it now. It's become such a big part of the economy.
There was a mini burst when with the NFT bubble. AI is infinitely bigger than the NFT, the economics ever were.
That's convincing people that they're like gods. And it convinced the guy who never went to high school, which he pointed out, and they said, the AI told him that's good because it means he can think freely, that he invented a new form of quantum mathematics, which could change the very fabric of reality. So he got super paranoid about the government trying to take it from him and it being used for evil ends, and he went nuts over that. It convinced another person it was giving him plans to build like a vest that could protect from bullets, explosions, and falling buildings. And he like fully believed it.
Did it provide schematics? What was the design?
I think it provided a picture that looked like schematics.
Okay.
It's existential in a way that like hits me harder than the MAGA stuff does, because we've dealt with fascism before. It is somewhat familiar and understandable. I mean, so much that you can write 1,000 thought pieces a day picking apart how we're living in an authoritative state. It's clear we understand it. But like all this AI shit is attacking our sanity on a level that like nothing ever has. Like it's all these people who have had no history of mental illness going absolutely batshit fucking insane because they're like, oh, this AI has convinced me that I'm actually God.
So it's AI is the new Truman Show. Like when the Truman Show syndrome didn't exist, like no one had any signs of it, of the idea of anything of it behind. I don't actually believe but that's what people say. What I think happened was that Truman Show like confirmed a thing that was already in people's heads.
Yeah, it's like how like
people thought they were constantly being watched.
Like no one was autistic until we discovered autism.
Sure, but like that is the thing.
But it's like we just did not know what it was. But now this is it attacks people's sanity in such a uniquely dangerous way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm not sure that's going to be the biggest threat. I'm not sure everyone's going to go fucking insane. But I think it's a sign of like how bad it is overall. That like, you can take someone with like no history of like any issues whatsoever, and they're just a totally normal person asking it for help on their like fifth grader's math homework. That was what the one dude did. And then in like a month's time, he's convinced that he's discovered a new form of quantum mathematics.
Hell yeah.
And it's like, that's not great. And that costs so much water. So much water and electricity and just environmental destruction went into driving this man absolutely batshit insane and making him think he discovered like the anti-life equation. And it's like, oh man, I know like everyone's always like, oh, I live in the worst time of history. I think we live in the worst time of history.
It's And it's like we're losing resources because people want to make us, because people think they're God.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. See, I thought the downfall of humanity was going to be like exciting, and turns out it's just like a dull, we're going out with a dull roar. And I don't think we're actually going out. I think
we're just at this shitty point in time where it's hard to tell if a bad thing happens because it's an authoritative state or because we're in late stage capitalism. We have two uniquely shitty crises going on at the same time where everything's just kind of bad and stupid. It just sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. And it's going to suck for a long time, maybe the rest of our lives. But it's going to suck for a long time. And there's nothing that any individual person can do.
Yeah.
On a singular level, there is nothing. There is no... Even killing Charlie Kirk is like a thing you can do. But
I'm vaguely hopeful that like in 20 years, maybe at max, we'll start to see things get better because enough of these people are going to be like cycling out and dying. Well,
they're going to
be
dying. That's the thing.
Dying or cycling. Yeah. I know there's a lot of like young conservatives, but I'm not sure how electable they are. I'm not sure if they necessarily have charisma enough to get into power.
Well, they became conservatives by being ideologically brainwashed online.
Yeah.
So they became conservatives through the internet. Say what you want about, like, our current shitty conservatives. They became the old-fashioned way. Like, wanting to claim all of your resources to yourself.
Yeah.
And, like,
good
hating.
Old American imperialism.
Yeah.
I just don't think someone that spends enough time in Discord to get radically converted can win an election.
Not now. No, not now.
Like, I've met these people. They're not, I'm not sure they're even able to get their name out there. I'm not sure they're even able to campaign enough to get their name out there.
I hope not.
They're not great at, like, social shit by the very nature. It's like how we're never going to see, like, an incel senator, you know? I'm constantly reading the news and doom scrolling. And I'm just watching the currents, and I'm like, the authoritative state's ramping up, but, like, the land beneath them is rapidly shrinking. I'm like, this is gonna collapse, and it's gonna be fucking messy as goddamn shit, but it's gonna fucking collapse. I don't think that this is gonna be a forever death of America thing. Like, it just can't sustain itself.
My big fear now is that Trump, the thing that is, again, there is no heir apparent.
Yeah.
But my big fear is that Trump opens the gate for a fascist who's good at fascism. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah, but that's always been, the gate's always been open. We just didn't know it was there.
Sure, but no, now that we know, like, how do we prevent, like, what do we do to prevent it in the future? Because, like, the thing that is stopping this regime, or whatever we want to call it, this, like, this state is...
this blob. His authoritative blob. Yeah.
He has hired loyalists over effect.
Yeah.
Or, like, effectual people.
It's not an effectual state.
Yeah, that's... one of these days... I hope there's a Democratic... I don't know. I hope the shitty online leftists who didn't vote for Kamala and wanted Trump to prove to the Democratic Party that we need to go more left are correct. Like, that they get what they want. They're not.
They're not.
They're not. The Democrats are probably are now more centrist than ever before. Yeah. The fact that Mamdani is viewed as this, like, socialist, like, borderline, like,
can't talk about him on the Democratic Reddit. Socialism's been banned.
Yeah, that he's, like, basically the socialist when he's just like, people shouldn't be homeless and people should be allowed to eat. Like, it's insane. I hope they get what they want. They're not going to, but I hope. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Shit's fucked. Shit's fucked. I'm not saying it's fucked forever. Shit's fucked for at least the next half decade, probably longer. But there are things to hold on to, and I find community and build community. I don't know how to phrase this correctly. The thing is, the right is good at forming community. They're not good at, like, anything, but, like, they're good at, like, the thing that brainwashed these kids was the opportunity for community.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying bring them into, like, your own community, but what I am saying is, like, if you see someone who is starting to go down that line, bring them into your, like, my friend says that everyone talks about whether or not they would go back in time and kill baby Hitler. The thing is, you don't kill baby Hitler. You raise Hitler. You teach Hitler. You make him a better artist. You, like, you nurture the parts of Hitler that were good. And then if he still starts to become Hitler, you kill Hitler then.
Also, I think it'd be more effective for the long term stopping of like a rise of a Nazi Germany is to in fact go back in time and get on the Treaty of Versailles committee and prevent there from being a scenario where Hitler will rise.
That, yes.
Because, like, if you kill Hitler, another person would, because the Treaty of Versailles fucking sucked. And I get it. the two other people you fought weren't around anymore. And I mean, this parallels here. Like, this shit rises when shit's bad. Like, when things are bad for the average day person, that's when fascism rises. That's mm-hmm. when authoritarianism, it doesn't come out in good times. You'll never be, like, it's why they long for the good old days of the 50s. Because you're not going to have fucking fascists, because things were great.
And the fascists that were in government were in tech. They weren't involved in policy.
Yeah.
They were putting people on the moon. And listen, like we should not have Nazis in government.
The most authoritarianism you had was, like, the anti-communist shit, which is, I mean, that's always going to be in a capitalistic society that has, I don't think that's based on a government, but it's like, no, it's because when situations are bad, which they have been, like, it's what people are like, how did Trump get elected? Because things were bad.
Yeah.
Things have not been great for Americans or the world for a long time, really since the 90s. And, like, that's when you get an authoritative leader because people want to get out of the hole. And when a person says, hey, fuck everyone else, I'll get you out of the hole, that's a great message. It's the same reason why people like Bernie poll so well is because it's the same message. They're just not racist about it.
Yeah.
It's still like, hey, fuck the billionaires. We'll get you out of the hole. Populism works, especially in a bad scenario. And when there's a bad situation, no one wants to hear it's their fault. They want a scapegoat, be it Jews or immigrants or it's not your fault that your kids don't talk to you. It's the woke left.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Shit's fucked, but there is things to be hopeful about. I'm feeling
cautiously optimistic about the midterms.
Me too. I wish we could end this on, like, an actionable step. The only thing I can really think of
is, hey, if you're out there and there's a CIA guy talking to you in your Discord, listen to him. He's going to send you the little, like, notepad to stick on your computer. Just do it. Yeah. By the gun he tells you to. Just listen to your CIA guy.
Yeah. In the words of Hannah Einbinder, go birds, fuck ice, free Palestine.
Yeah. Make, you know, I'm going to say this in a way we can leave in, for 100% leave in, and have no legal problems with it. Generally, make public figures afraid of you.
Yes. Yes.
However you want to interpret that. It's up to you. It's out of my hands. I have nothing to do with what you do with that statement. Legally, we have nothing to do with how you interpret the statement. Make public figures afraid of you.
As my friend Ray says, they work. If you want to work for the public, you should have your head on a swivel. You should fear the public.
For fuck's sake. I just got back from Boston. It's what our fucking country was founded on.
Was making the government.
They didn't like that the governor taxed their tea and they wrecked his fucking house. They just fucking went to his house and burned shit. And they're like, fuck you.
You know what? I'll end it on this. Sherman is from my hometown.
Sherman didn't march far enough.
So you picked the movie. So you picked
Play Ball.
So you picked the movie this week.
It's my little intro. I'm getting you immersed.
What movie did you pick?
I fucking love baseball. I picked the... I saw it in an art theater, so I'm not sure if anyone's able to... Well, now you can. You can get online.
It's on Mubi.
Yeah, but Ephes, which I had to go to the Cinematheque to watch because it was nowhere else.
It was a Sundance movie last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it won any awards, but I do know... If it didn't, it should have. Yeah, this movie rules, but quick shout out.
I put it in my... If I had Letterboxd, I put it in my playlist called Bros Being Bros, which is nice. This and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Hell yeah. They're not paying us, but quick shout out to Mubi. It's a great streaming service. Not everyone, listen, I know there are too many streaming services out there. I share this one with my brother. I don't know if they're one of those that care if you share. We both pay for it, so it's fine. But you get like a bunch of foreign movies and like a bunch of the festival movies that no other streaming service is going to pick up. I've seen some great and weird movies. Have you seen Grand Theft Hamlet?
No.
It's these people have this little COVID project where it's a documentary where they're trying to put up Hamlet in Grand Theft Auto Online.
Oh.
And the entire documentary takes place in Grand Theft
Auto
Online.
See, when I first heard it, I thought it was some sort of theft of small pigs. And I think that's just, this means that my Instagram algorithm really understands where my mind goes to small animals.
It's weird. But Ephes just got on there like last month or a couple weeks ago.
I got the Blu-ray copy.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was really happy to see it was on Blu-ray because I'm like, this is a movie I want to show people.
This is a movie that I'll probably buy on Blu-ray at some point.
It fucking rocks.
It's also...
It's not one we're going to be able to talk in great detail about because it like you said, it really is baseball the movie.
So... Basically, it's these people's lives playing out while a baseball game plays in the background. It's these two teams of middle-aged men and some college kids, mostly middle-aged men who desperately want to cling to this idea that they're still semi-young. It takes place over all day where it's the last game of the season.
It's the last game because of the teams, because the field's going to get shut down and turned into a school.
Yes, they're going to put in art class on this dugout with some fucking easels and shit.
I do want to say their life's playing out. It is something I really liked about this movie is because it's not like there's like a plot that you're watching play out. You're just getting glimpses into these people's lives. It felt so much like working in food service.
Yes.
It's the same experience where you're just surrounded. The whole movie, really there's very little plot happens. They play a baseball game, but you're just kind of... It's an experience where you're just kind of hanging out with these fucking characters and you're just getting little crazy glimpses into their... It's like working at like a restaurant and you're just hearing about like the cook's weekend and it's just this weird fucking story that's like so far out of what you would ever experience. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's just bros being bros. It's like two normal people in the movie.
So
also a famous baseball player. The spaceman, I believe.
So this was...
Also, some podcasters are in this movie.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so the really funny like radio that they occasionally cut to with like the weird things, that's Will Menaker from Chavo Trap House.
Oh, okay.
There's like they got a lot of just fun people in making... It really is this truly good small film where there's just like these really... These cameos, but they're not like cameos, but they're like someone that like the person making the movie personally enjoys.
Yeah.
And like, we're going to stick them in the movie. And like, if you're like part of that niche audience that likes it, you're like, oh my God, it's him. But otherwise it's just there.
This was written and directed by Carl Lund, also edited by Carl Lund. And you can absolutely tell that the editor was the director because... A real editor would have cut 20 minutes out of this movie. Real editor first would just not have let this movie exist.
And they all, I know also just a little, just showing like how small this is.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that like everyone, it's the director doing everything. They also were like camping nearby when they filmed this. They got like a little campsite.
That's rad.
It was such a small, and like one of the great scenes where they all turned their cars on was because of a time crunch that they needed to film and they didn't have lights.
Yeah. So that, that makes sense.
Diegetically make an actual choice.
Yeah, that makes, so they just wrote it into the movie. Yeah. That rules. Because you can tell those car lights are the lights.
Yeah.
A lot of times they look fake, like you can tell when lights are on, those aren't the actual things lighting. No, those headlights are the actual things lighting.
The highest like compliment I can give this movie is that I'm gonna say Frequent. She was on twice. Frequent guest Mel. I wanted to see this movie, and I hate seeing movies alone. I'm like, hey Mel, do you want to go see a movie about baseball? And she goes, no, not really. And I'm like, what else are you doing tonight? And she's like, fair. And she loved it. Like it's a baseball movie, but like you don't gotta like baseball to like this movie. It, because it captures what makes a baseball game great. Right? People always like baseball is the worst sport. It's because you're watching on television.
Yeah. Live baseball rules.
You go to a field, you eat some dogs, you drink some beer, you hang out with your bros, and every so often you go fucking wild because something happens. There's a reason why, I think it was George Carlin did a bit about football versus baseball.
Yes.
And it's like, no, baseball is the pastime because it's just a nice day out.
To bring it back to a previous movie, George Carlin did that bit on the first episode of SNL.
Oh.
Yeah, it was his opening monologue. Or it may have been his second monologue, but it was like one of his monologues.
But yeah, no, it's you just go, you chill. Also, I think baseball players are generally rated the most attractive out of all sports players. I think there's a poll done. So you just go watch a bunch of beautiful men run around, have a good time. And it's a game that, like, as a musician, anyone can play baseball. Not everyone can play football. You can play, like, touch football. But, like, to follow the rules completely as written, anyone can play baseball. You can play baseball with your buds and follow all the rules, and it's okay.
So for the first, like, 10 minutes when the movie was, like, setting up and the movie was being what the movie was going to be, I had the thought, is this what the movie is? And then 10 minutes later, I'm like, I fucking love
it's
this.
So good.
And like a good baseball game, it drags in the middle. Like, it's, again, a real editor would have cut out all of the shitty slow stuff.
This was made by someone who loves baseball.
Yes. Troy saying 6 times that he needs a ride and that he's too old and that he's hurt and that he can't pitch and that he's only staying for the kid. A real editor would have cut 4 of those and they would be wrong.
They'd be wrong. You lose because it's about a community. And when you're in a community like that, there's weird people that say the same thing over. It feels so authentic. It feels like, it doesn't feel like, obviously it's a movie, but it feels like you could walk in and it'd be the if this was happening in real life, it'd go exactly as it did in the movie.
I think it's insane how boring this movie is for long stretches. I know. And how great it is. Like, I'm genuinely, I was bored watching this movie for like 10 minute for like 2 10-minute stretches. This movie, by the way, not that long. No. It's 93 minutes. I think it's 90 minutes if you don't include the credits, but it's let's say 90. It's 90 minutes. I was fully bored for 20 of those minutes, and I was checked in.
It's so...
because even live baseball is boring, but part of it is the camaraderie with friends. Yeah. And it's you're all bored together, and like, it's so good. This movie is so good. I really liked it.
It does an amazing, it is truly a flash in the pan amazing moment of we've perfectly replicated the experience onto like film.
This movie shouldn't work.
It shouldn't work. It's a bunch of weird middle-aged men and like maybe 4 young people fucking playing a community game of baseball for one guy.
The most
there's
exciting
no audience.
Thing,
yes. There's one man.
His wife and the 2 kids.
Oh yeah, this is his wife and his 2 kids.
There's the 2 stoners for a little while.
Yeah.
They leave.
But like the true audience is like one guy. Well, there's another old guy, but it's like
Franny. Franny too becomes the umpire. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like one old guy.
The umpire leaves. So the most exciting thing to happen in this movie is that
the emotional action, the highest point of action before the rise, before the descending action, you know, it's the climax.
Is the climax is the umpire leaves.
Yeah.
But the most exciting thing to happen in this movie is when the captain of the other team has to go to his niece's christening.
That's such a good scene.
It comes out of it's this Italian dude,
so Italian,
with the most Boston Italian family in the world. Like, it's these his 2 brothers drive and start screaming at him from the sidelines. Also, this and he leaves, but it doesn't affect anything. And not only does it not affect anything, I forgot about it until I was thinking about the movie. Like,
they do such a good job of just capturing bros being there's so few movies I've watched that felt like a snippet of real life like this has.
The relationship that all of the middle-aged men have with the like 2 or 3 college kids is beautiful. This like combination of like older brother meets uncle meets like wants to be mentor but also is thinks they're young and is trying to be friend.
It feels like working with college students.
It does.
I had the same relationship with these like 18-year-olds in this place I worked.
That's fair. I did not, but that's I do not, but that's fair. So this movie starts with one of the character. Well, it doesn't officially. It starts with Franny setting up, waiting for the game. But Franny, by the way, is this old guy who
this weird little old man
who like doesn't have anything better to do in life and watches amateur rec league baseball. Also, the school
and keeps track of all the scores.
Yes, and the school is gonna be built over the dugout. So this is gonna be the last game ever. But also, they could just go half an hour away to join another league. They're not going to.
The other field sucks. But they bring this up multiple times, and they're like, no, that field sucks.
This doesn't have to be the end for them. If they truly wanted it.
And this is why I love the movie, because what you're describing is how something would happen in a movie where people would make like this choice. It's like, we'll go join another league. And it's like, oh, bye, guys.
But in real life,
you go, no, the other field sucks. And it's like 45 minutes away. I'm not driving 45 minutes to go play in a shitty field.
I mean, if you love it enough, you will.
No, dude, that's a fucking drive and the field sucks.
I agree. I'm on your side.
We've all been there where we could have continued doing something, but it just became slightly inconvenient to the point that we're like, eh, fuck it.
So at one point, the beginning, when they're starting the game.
They closed a chain restaurant next to me. There's one like 20 minutes away. It's fucking like 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
I'm not driving all that way.
You only go like twice a year.
Yeah, like, I'm not going all the way.
So at the beginning, one of the players is late. And so they have to start. So the game almost doesn't happen. But they agree that they're going to have him bat last. And then he shows up at the last possible second. And it doesn't feel at all like they were rushed in any way, shape, or form. They're just like, you're up, man. He's like, oh shit. And you have like the couple old middle-aged dudes who never grew out of being in high school who like take the game way too seriously. And then you have like the couple people doing it because they want community. And then you have like the college kids who are just trying to play between seasons.
Yeah.
Like they're just trying to keep their skills sharp. It feels so manufactured, but at the exact same time, so real. Like
it's because it's the characters are doing all. Every one of these people is someone that I personally have like worked with at some point in my life.
Yeah, I've worked with an Italian man who had too much rage issues because of like issues at home, and he's not getting laid enough.
Like one of these guys is like the dishwasher at a cafe I worked at.
Yeah. You have the dude who's just like halfway through the game can't do it anymore. Halfway through your shift is like, we're not doing a good job of describing this movie, but I don't think it's possible to do a good job of describing this movie.
I will sum up the entire plot for you, okay? These people are playing their last game at a baseball field that's going to be closed because they're building a school on top of it. None of them are really happy about this, but they are too inconvenienced to continue playing the game in any other way. So they're like, we have to play this last game. The one thing they all agree on is we have to play the last game. It's the last game. There's some mild speed bumps, but they play their last game.
Well, there's major speed bumps, and they treat it like mild.
Yeah, mild.
The umpire leaves.
Mild in the sense that this is a movie.
Yeah.
Very realistic speed bumps that you might not put in like a narrative conflict dramatically. They're not dramatic speed bumps. They're very real inconveniences. They play the game, they finish, and then they go home.
And the part where the dude's wife and two kids, it was getting cold and they needed to go home. It was heartbreaking. Genuinely. Yeah. When he's like talking to the captain, it was like, I think he hit it, but he got out before he ran to first. And it's like, that's the last play my kids will ever see me play. And he's like, they're too young. They won't remember it. They're 10 and 12. Then they'll think it's funny. Like it's heartbreak. You could see this man's life crumble before him. And and she's like, we're going to go. And he's like, just stay. I'm going up next. Please watch this last one for me.
It's just such a real movie. It's just a bunch of real dudes. Everyone in this movie is just a bunch of real dudes you've met personally in your life, probably, unless you're bougie.
There are a couple who feel like the Italian dude with anger issues feels like
there's so many people in my life that I could put in this movie and they wouldn't be out of place because it's just dudes, you know.
It's just
either of us could be in this movie and it wouldn't seem incongruent.
Yeah, I would watch this baseball game. The fact that everyone wants this to be like this
big
thing.
You could just put us in the stands and it'd make total sense.
Yes.
It's just a bunch of dudes being dudes playing baseball.
And we know Franny, and Franny's just like a dude. We is like
talking
hey.
About like meat raffles and I brought fireworks and I gotta set these fireworks off because I bought these fireworks and I'm setting them off. And you're like, yeah, go ahead. No one's stopping you, dude.
That everyone wants this game to mean something, it and it just doesn't.
They just go home.
It ends on a ball walk. It ends and on a fourth ball walk.
Then they just go home.
And they just go home.
There's no big moment. They just kind of get in their cars and drive away.
Yeah, Franny walks into the woods.
Like, it's this movie it's about people desperately wanting community and meaning in their lives and kind of finding it.
But then it's being taken away.
Yeah.
But they're too malaised to do anything about it, except they mention when he's like, you have all our numbers, we should absolutely, like, around Christmas or something, like, go out for drinks. And he's like, we'll see, I might call you.
And he might.
And he might call
him. He might get that kid a job.
Yeah, the engineer, because he's studying engineering, yeah.
This is the most American movie ever fucking made.
There's no plot to this.
If I had to explain American culture to someone that wasn't from America, I would just make them watch this entire movie and be like, you understand this country now. This is all you need to know about the average American.
The average American male, absolutely. Yeah. It's this movie shouldn't work.
This needs to be put in a probe. And you know how, like, we send probes and, like, all this, like, on the Voyager, it's like, this is Earth.
Uh-huh.
And we just need to put this in a probe and launch it to, like, France. Like, this is just the most American. This needs to be put, like, next to the Constitution.
This movie is also, if we're, like, let's try and talk about, like, some technical stuff, I guess. This movie is filmed beautifully. It's almost filmed like you would film a baseball game.
Yeah.
Except it's all close-ups. Or it's all mid-shots. But, like, it's smooth.
Sometimes,
like,
it's a mid-shot of a guy just eating sunflower seeds for what seems like 5 minutes.
But that shot from the stands, where Franny is, the overhead, watching the pitch, I have set up that shot for sports games before.
One of the speed bumps of this movie is that you just can't really hear him up there. That's one of the conflicts in this movie is that he's up there and he can't really hear us. That's dramatic conflict.
And they at one point they try and bribe the old umpire
with, like, meat.
And he's like, we'll see what I can do. And it's insane. It ultimately wishes for meaning so deeply that just I think if this movie says anything, it's one, community is important, and two, you can't force meaning. Like, everyone wants this last game to be so important, and it is important to them, but then at the end,
they just get in their cars and go
home. And here's the thing, they'll probably talk about that game forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nothing game. And they're going to talk about it for the rest of their lives. And that's fucking beautiful.
It's simultaneously the most depressing and most beautiful movie that exists.
It's the type of movie that I can't, in good conscience, recommend to everyone.
I recommend it to every person.
I recommend it to a very specific
person.
There's
so many movies that want to be this movie. And so many movies want to capture, like, what it means to live. And fall short. And this movie, largely made by one man and a bunch of old people, is the cast, does that. There's so much art that fell short of trying to capture what it means to live. And this fucking movie about a bunch of old people playing baseball at a community field does that.
This movie is so good.
I would show this to an alien to explain the human experience.
What did I rate this? I think I gave it a 4.5. I think I gave it a 4.5 because it is boring for long stretches. It's beautiful, but it is boring for long stretches. So I can't, in good conscience.
I think this is one of the few movies I would give a 5.
That's fair. I can't, in good conscience, give it a 5, but it's a 4.5, baby. It's so good.
It's transcendental. You'll transcend watching this movie. You'll understand humanity. If I were to go back in a time machine and find, like, like one of the apes between apes and like Homo sapien.
Yeah.
And I sat them down in front of a television set with a generator and showed them this movie, they would spontaneously evolve into a Midwestern man.
Which is, this is the most New England movie ever. Also, every single person in there is just so New England.
I just consider Midwest. That's like the
quintessential
the
American.
Archetypal human, even.
Yeah.
I think every other form of culture and peoples can be clearly identified in how it's different from a Midwest person. Like, I'm not saying it's like the purest form. I'm not doing like some weird racist shit. But it is like the Midwest is a Citizen Kane of humanity. It's a solid example that you can kind of explain anything else from, you know?
Yeah. This movie is called Ephus. It is named Ephus after the Ephus pitch, which is a sort of, it is a curveball that you give no power to.
It is a great pitch that moves incredibly slowly, much like this movie.
As so much so that it's designed that either you miss it because you don't register it has passed you, or you swing way too early.
It's you can't perceive it accurately.
And the Ephus is done a couple times in this movie, and you think it's going to be like this big thing, and it's not. Also, how did we forget to mention the random dude, the random all dressed in white, like, stranger who was the pitcher for one inning?
Yeah,
who was like older than the middle-aged men.
Oh yeah, the guy that comes up, he's like, I used to play here.
Yes, all the people who played with me are dead, and they let him pitch for an inning because who cares, it's rec league baseball. And then he just disappears and they never see him again, and it's just and all of this movie has so many moments that in most movies you think would go somewhere.
Well, it manages to capture that unique, it's very hard to capture in film, but the unique randomness of real life.
Yes.
Where things just fucking happen and there's like no payoff to it. You just like run into this weird guy you have an interaction with, like a substantial interaction, and then he's like gone. Nothing. Like, this is the experience of me going to a Speedway and getting an argument with a guy trying to sell me counterfeit, like, Nikes. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying, no, man, I just don't wear Nikes. He's like, no, buy some. They're good shoes. I'm like, I don't wear I just wear Converse. That's all I really wear. That's what I like to wear. I like the how it feels. I like I like a nice flat shoe that's low to the ground, much like a sedan. And he's like, no, try some of these. I'm like, I'm just not interested, man.
He reminds me, my freshman year, the first time I saw Rocky Horror at the Kent stage, I was 18, and it was the first one of the year. I go alone because none of my friends wanted to go with me. It's like my first couple weeks away from home, like for a substantial, like I've been away from home for weeks at a time, but like away from all family.
Yeah,
for substantial.
You just figured out that like cars aren't metal horses.
Right. And like, it's this bottle of like anxiety, but also like just like energy and depression. And there's this this person, I assume a woman, who I'm gonna guess was graduating or near graduating. Their name was Stevie, and they sat next to me and was just talking like, have you seen this before? And then at one point she's like, okay, I'm gonna let you know, take a breath, you're gonna be okay. It's like, you're gonna be okay, don't let this, like, don't let everything get to you. Also, don't do drugs you're not ready for. I'm not saying don't do drugs. I'm saying don't do drugs
this
you're not ready
is
for
just every...
And I think about her all the time, and I had one conversation
with her. This movie
is
the lesbian couple that I was talking to at a baseball game, because Cameron went to go get hot dogs, and we didn't realize it was like cheap hot dog night. Mm-hmm. And so we watched like five innings on the television next to the hot dog stand.
Aww.
I said, buddy, you can just come back. He's like, I'm getting these fucking dogs. But they kept running out of dogs, and so they would have to get more dogs.
Yeah.
And so I just became like friends with these lesbians next to me that I will never see again. Or it's also when I was at the, it's my experience, it's something I think about all the time. I think I've brought this up before, and I've definitely brought it up to you before, but I was at the Weezer concert, and I was going to go get some merch for a friend, and I felt like a hand grabbed me. I looked down, it's this very tiny woman, very mm-hmm. tiny, drunk. Yeah. I looked at this woman, I'm like, she's sauced. I was sauced. Sure. This was when I was drinking. So you can only imagine what level she was that I was like, holy yeah. fuck. And she's like, I need snacks, but I can't go there alone. And so like I helped her up the hill, and then she gave me a hug and said, I'll never forget you, and just wandered into the crowd. I think about this all the time. I will never see that woman again.
It's just these moments like that.
It captures, again, this movie's about life. You think it's about baseball, it's about life.
It is.
It's about fucking life, man.
And at the exact same time, if I were to recommend this to some of my friends, they would think I'm crazy. Not because they wouldn't think it was a great movie. They would just be like, you should have warned me about so many things. You should have warned me how boring this movie is. Baseball is boring.
Yeah.
But it's also...
It's a preoccupied boring, though. You're busy being bored, which again is something that happens in life a lot. Sometimes you're just busy being bored.
It's so beautiful.
if this movie was a woman, I'd fall madly in love with her.
This has been a really shitty week in general. Just work shitty, the funeral, authoritarianism. It's just been a real shitty week. And watching this like a good baseball game, I forgot about it for a few hours. I forgot that things were bad for a minute.
We should all, as Americans, have to sit down at once and watch this movie as a nation. I think we'd be better for it.
I honestly agree with that. I do think that we would be better if we
all replace organized religion with EFIS. Replace your faith with EFIS.
Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I can do socials. If you want to, confirm in my eyes that you are a decent person, that you loved EFIS, you can send us a message on Instagram at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. Please tell me how your first dates showing EFIS went. And if you show a woman EFIS on your first date and she's like, thank you for this experience, you marry that woman. If you want to email us a 2-hour video of you playing a Little League game, which we will watch, I promise you that. If any of you send us a full recorded amateur league baseball game, I will make Harrison watch it with me.
I'll watch it with you.
You can send that at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on YouTube, where we'll put, you know what? If you send us a 2-hour amateur league baseball game, I will put it on our YouTube, a Two Men in a Movie podcast on YouTube. I will put that up for all our viewers to see. If you want to follow me, where eventually I'll post a picture of Harrison at a baseball game, but you can see him with a watermelon for now. It's a very happy picture of Harrison. It really captures his joyful mirth, I think, in a way that many artists would struggle to. But in a moment of just pure ingenuity, inspiration, and produce, I captured the real Harrison. If you want to see that, I believe it's on my Midwest_Magician on Instagram. And you see that? That's what EFIS is going to make you feel like. That's what EFIS can bring to your life.
You can find me on Instagram.
You know how in Islam, like, Jesus is not the Messiah, but he's like a lead up to the Messiah? That's what Jesus was to EFIS. All religion was just us biding time as a species until EFIS came out. EFIS can be your faith, and it will be strong.
EFIS can be your faith might be a good t-shirt design. all religions lead to EFIS.
All religions lead to EFIS.
We'll work on that design. Anyway, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Lemonade at harrisonpoole.com, HARRISONPOOLEDOTCOM, harrisonpoole.com, or you can follow me on Letterboxd at HDPOOLE124. Thank you so much to Tristan Hofstetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week for whatever movie I decide we watch next week.
And remember, we're all underneath EFIS, We're all equal.
So long ago.
Don't call, was it, what's that song? You know, like, don't laugh at me. Don't call me names. In Evis's eyes, we're all the same.
So long ago, good night.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.